Last time, we took a look at the origin of the Samaritans, and as I was studying recently, I realized that the tribe of Manasseh, at least West Manasseh, and you can take a look at your in your back of your Bible, you might have a map that's like a map of the divided kingdom, and then before that, a map of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you can see that Manasseh, West Manasseh, because Manasseh was on both sides of the Jordan, was the tribe or the part of the tribe. Their region was that which became Samaria. And it's kind of a sad thing, because that was the great blessing upon Brother Joseph, in that his blessing was in his grandsons, and his sons, that Jacob took his grandsons, Joseph's grandsons. No, Jacob took his own grandsons of Joseph, Joseph's sons, for his own. And Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed. And Manasseh, as far as geography, occupied the greatest amount of real estate in the day of the division by the Lord. And we've read and touched, I believe, that in the scriptures and our study about the enemies of Israel, and then seeing this about Assyria, how Manasseh and Zebulun, I think it was Zebulun that prevailed so. And so anyway, Samaria, that region was West Manasseh, as it's referred to, became Samaria. And so we saw about the origin of the Samaritans and the Lord going to them and what he said to the woman at the well of Sychar. Tonight, I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This is enemies of Israel. We're taking a look at the touch of Assyria upon the nation of the divided kingdom of Judah. And we have a character study of a sorts with Brother Hezekiah. The scripture tells and it bears out that these things happened unto them for examples to us, upon the whom the ends of the world are come, that we might see the warning from the word of God, that we might learn. You know, Brother Hezekiah, I've got some things that are written about Brother Hezekiah that I don't agree or don't understand or don't agree with his attitude about some things, especially in the end. But the Lord said he was a good king, and you've got the reference there on the chart to tell about that. So that's what the Lord says. But the thing is, we need to despise anyone who has failed, and we don't need to run them down in our hearts and our minds. In any way, we need to know what the Lord says and know that it's good for ourselves and for others. And then we need to learn. We need to learn when we have these accounts or as we deal with people in life, learn. And don't be like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, which thought that they were righteous and despised others. We don't need to be doing that. That won't be a help. That won't be a blessing. The Lord is not pleased with that in any way. So, Brother Hezekiah, we're taking a look at him and the touch of the Assyrians upon Judah. In 2 Chronicles, we're going to start here because we're going to take a look, and we've got to lay this, if we're going to do justice to the subject, we've got to lay this groundwork. And there's some things here that we can learn from, and we can learn, take a look there if you have your chart. Ahaz is Hezekiah's father, and he was an evil king, okay? And Hezekiah, we can take a look over at 2 Kings 18, there in the first two verses, it tells about when Hezekiah came to reign, being Ahaz's, Ahaz, king of Judah's father or son. He came to reign, and when he began to reign, he was 25 years old. Ahaz, his father, reigned for 16 years. That means that Hezekiah was 11 years old, when he saw and watched how his daddy reigned, being evil. You think about that, 11 to 25, watching daddy disobey the Lord. When there's the word of God and the spirit of God and the Lord himself to work, there is always help and hope. We need to know that. This man, our brother, is a testimony to that. And then when we've gone away, when we have gone into error, when we have disobeyed our Lord, there's always room for repentance. And the Lord acknowledges and receives repentance. Our Lord is, do you and I realize that our Lord is worshiped when we repent? Because we yield and we submit that the Lord's way is the right way. And that we have gone a wrong way. And so he is praised in repentance, and he loves repentance. And so we read here, 2 Chronicles 29, a lot of reading tonight, just to get this, make a few comments as we go. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. 29 years he reigned, a good long reign. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, that's not Zechariah the prophet, because Zechariah the prophet's in a whole different time, okay? And you can go to the book of Zechariah and see that. But there's a reference here that was important to the writer and the Lord inspiring. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And so we've seen these references. The reference in Judah is obedience like David. The reference in Israel without fail is the following after the sins of Jeroboam. And so here he's got this to his credit, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place that those previous kings had brought in. And the thing is, it was known, we know it from the scripture, that that filth, what he's talking about is all the paganism and also all the just the leaving of the house to deteriorate. That of the paganism that's there goes all the way back to the days of Solomon. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Brother Ezekiel sees that, and I trust that we know about that. He's told to dig in the wall. Also, they have shut the doors of the porch, and this is an earlier time than Brother Ezekiel, and put out the lamps, have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. This was the place that Solomon had built, and there was a great blessing. Wherefore, because of that, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. Hezekiah, he doesn't make an excuse. He's not wondering about why the problems have come upon Judah. He says, this is the reason. Because we and our fathers have turned our backs against God, on God. And so he makes no excuse, but he tells the truth. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this evil. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. And that's interesting that we touch this about Hezekiah looking to make a covenant, a testament with God. Okay? But he's dedicated to this. He's not playing around. He's real serious about this. With the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. I tell you what, Hezekiah's got a good desire, doesn't he? He does. My sons, be not now negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, speaking to the Levites, to the priests, and to serve him. It's his choice, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, And Azariah, the son of Jehiel, of the son of the Gershonites, Jonah, the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah, and the sons of Elizaphan, and Shimri, and Jeiel, of the sons of Asaph, and Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and the sons of Heman, and Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, and Shimeiah, and Uziel. So he lists several of these priests and their relation and their connection and such. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it abroad into the brook Kidron. So there was enough for them to get up and carry. Now, when you go around dusting, our ladies, when you clean here, you clean at home and maybe use a feather duster or a rag and all that. You don't think about carrying that over somewhere and dumping it all out. There was enough for them to carry down to the Kidron to get rid of. So it's more than cleaning up. That maybe people had just brought stuff in there just to be around, or there was just all that filth that was left over and just refuse left over from the heathen use of the temple and such as that, and where it had been left and been abandoned and such. People being people, we can understand how a place would get tore up and trashed. Now they began on the first day of the month. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And so first day, first month of the year, right? Remember what the Lord told Moses and the children of Israel as they left out of Egypt? This is the beginning. This is the first day of the first month for you. He established a time for them. And so along that line, here they are. And so we understand that time. It's the first day of the year, okay? And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. Now, do you remember what's supposed to happen in the first month? Okay, let's read. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. So it tells how long. It took a lot of cleanup, didn't it? Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table and with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression," your daddy, Hezekiah knows that, "have we prepared and sanctified." They've washed them, they've cleaned them, they've done what was ordered to set it apart and such. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Everything's back, King Hezekiah. Everything's cleaned up. We've done what you've said. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priest, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they, now notice this, Hezekiah isn't doing this himself. But he's following the order that the Lord's given. He's not head up in that he's got a zeal and he's got a conviction to pursue this and do this and says, "I'm going to go ahead and lead in it." No, he wants everybody to take their place in the order that the Lord has given. So he has the priests do it because that's the way it's supposed to be. So they killed the bullocks and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar and they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps according to the commandment of David. and of God, the king's seer, and of Gad, rather, the king's seer, or the prophet of the Lord, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And so there was that order that had been established, and they followed that. You know what? They had to get into the books. They had to get into the scripture. And they had to find out, they had to get into the things that they had in the establishment of this order and learn it and get it set up. Had to put forth some effort. Something that you and I need to realize. When we go away from the way of the Lord, and as a brother preached, it'll take us farther and it'll cost us more to keep us longer. But when we go away from the way of the Lord, it's going to take some work and some effort to get back. Better not to go away in the first place. But there's going to have to be some cleanup. And there's going to have to be some pursuing. Where there's going to have to be some getting this flesh pinned down and mortified to get back. And you know what? It's going to be harder to turn and to get back than it would have been to stay. True? I mean, that's what they faced here. There is a likelihood of a possibility as we turn and we look to go back from which we have come, that we're going to be tempted with uncertainty. You reckon that they had uncertainty about some things, trying to figure it out, trying to understand, trying to take that and applying that for real? Yeah. But you know what? The right direction is back with the Lord. The right direction is obedience unto the Lord. Verse number 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and so on, as was commanded by these prophets. Verse 26, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Do you think that the trumpeters knew the song to trumpet? Do you think that the singers knew the song to sing? Remember, they've come out of what? 16 years of disobedience by Hezekiah's daddy. And indeed, there were those, no doubt, that were involved with the worship and that had been pushed away and such as that, that knew. But they had to practice. They had to get it together. It just wasn't like one day. You know what? They had to work hard at getting back right. They had to apply themselves. It would have been better over the decades, over the centuries, if they had just continued on in the service. But they had it was a harder road to come back. We need to remember that. And all the congregation, verse 28, worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped the Lord. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded and had ordained that they should do and could do in different things. He said, get back to it. Get back to the good way that our Lord had given us. And to the house of the Lord, there in the midst of verse 31, and the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. Verse 32, and the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 70, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen, and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them. The priests couldn't. And so the Levites jumped in to help. But you know that was against the commandment of the Lord? But you know what their thinking is and what their pursuit is? It is from an honest and pure heart. They're not looking to change anything. They're looking to accomplish what is at hand, because going forward, they're looking to do it right. Let's see. We'll read on. We'll see here what is said. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. The Levites had set themselves apart for this, looking forward to this. Some of the priests were lagging behind in getting themselves sanctified and cleansed. And so they applied themselves, and their desire was right, but they did not look to change this thing to make a new way or a new order. There was necessity at that time and that moment. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. They did it in a hurry. They pursued it in a hurry. Chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. Now he's the king of Judah. And at this time, Hoshea is king of Israel, last king that we saw about in recent times. Hoshea is somewhere after 3 years into his 9-year reign when Hezekiah comes to be king of Judah. And Hezekiah sends out letters to his own and to Hoshea's kingdom, Israel. He is interested in the Lord's people getting right. And wrote letters also to Ephraim, which is up north, which is north of Judah, and Manasseh, which is on both sides of the Jordan, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. Now, Israel, the divided kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, have been told they were to worship at Dan and Bethel, 2 golden calves. But look how bold this man is. He said, you all get on down here to worship. And he's not saying, you all get on down here to worship because I'm right, but get on down here to worship because this is what our God has said and our Lord has said. Listen to this. They should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Do you know what's up? First month. When's the Passover observed? First month. What day? 14th day. Lamb put up on the 10th day. It took them to the 16th day to get the place cleaned up. What's Hezekiah doing? What's he doing? For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. They talked it over. I believe they prayed about it. They considered it. And said, we want to get back to being right. We want to get back to obeying the Lord. Let's go. Let's go with it. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, the 10 northern tribes, from Beersheba, or actually all of Israel, the entire kingdom, from Beersheba, which is way down south, to Dan, which is way up north of the Sea of Galilee, that they should come keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers, And like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. He's not pulling any punches, is he? He's telling, this mess is at hand because the Lord has been departed from. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. I tell you what, charity does hope all things. Because I tell you what, the love and the compassion, the long-suffering and the pity, and I mean that in the right way, of the Lord is beyond measure. And Brother Hezekiah claimed that for the nation. He pointed them to that. He loves the Lord, doesn't he? And he loves the nation and the people, doesn't he? I wonder who the Lord used to teach him. You wonder about that? Wonder how it was in those 16 years that he watched his father sin against God. Wonder how it was going on in his life. So the turn away his face from you. I'm sorry. And the Lord your God is gracious, for the Lord your God is gracious, there in the midst of verse 9, and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Verse 10. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. You know, that's the way it's going to be. There's going to be, for those that want to be dedicated to what God has said and how our lives are to be ordered, how he's to be worshiped and served and adored and followed and obeyed, there's always going to be those that are going to mock and scoff and laugh and carry on. Just get used to it. It's going to be that way. Laugh them to scorn. They laughed and they mocked until they left and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers, different ones of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves. And you know, that's what we have to do when we repent. We have to humble ourselves. Humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. Verse 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. Feast of Unleavened Bread begins the day right after Passover. Okay, and they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, the pagan ones, and all the altars for incense took they away, the pagan ones, and cast them into the brook Kidron. So they had more of a cleaning that was done. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. They began to be convicted and pressured by their brethren and by the king in that. They were ashamed. They saw their guilt, they saw their shortcoming, and they turned from that unto the office that the Lord had called them to. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. The Lord had ordered that even for the people. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean. Not the priests, if I understand it right, but the Levites. The Levites were the tribe from which the priests would be taken from. But the tribe is helping out here in this, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim, which is up north, Manasseh up north, Issachar up north, Zebulun up north, had not cleansed themselves. They might have not even known, because it had all been forgotten. It had all been done away with. You know what? The sins of parents and grandparents and people can take and leave the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren just to inherit a whole pile of ignorance. And there they are. They're born and they raise up in a time and they just don't have a clue because nobody knew and it had been forgotten to even teach them. Lord, help us. We've got a responsibility for the future. We got a responsibility for the future. May God help us that we hold to what our Lord has given us. For the multitude, verse 18, for the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, did not cleanse themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone." Lord, we've not done it exactly right. But Lord, you know our hearts. You know the desire that we have to get back. And the thing is this passage and this account should never be claimed for you and I to take what our Lord has given us and change it to suit ourselves. Because you know what God knows about Hezekiah, this king, and his leadership and that of the priest. They know, the Lord knows that next year they're going to be on time. They're not looking to move it to the second month. But of the necessity of this coming back to the Lord, let's not let it pass. And so he prays. That the Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, that purification that was required of them before they would go and approach the temple. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. The Lord blessed. Prayers of the saints with an honest and open heart to get back to following the Lord. They'd come out of 16 years of his daddy's sin and the paganism and all that that prevailed in that time, and they wanted to get back. And the children of Israel, verse 21, that were present at Jerusalem, kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. They're repenting. They're acknowledging where they've done wrong, and they've acknowledged what the Lord has given in his word for them to do right and to do well and to get lined up with the Lord. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. They went on another week. Kind of like brother mentioned in days of old when there would be revival services for 2 weeks. Could we handle that? The impact of our culture. Lord, help us. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, to give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. I mean, they're giving offerings. They're not afraid that they're going to lose. The king is doing so. And the princes, the leaders of the tribes are doing so. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. They got right. You know, as a child of God, you and I getting right can have an impact and be a witness to our brothers and sisters to get right too. We are a witness. And the thing is, we need to be more than a witness, because you know what? We can be a witness to the bad and to the poor or to the good. May the Lord help us that we understand with wisdom that we need to be a good witness of good things in our Lord. Verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel from the north and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time, listen to this, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Now, I tell you what, that's a blessing, isn't it? But it's also a sad statement, too. Because if you've got your chart and you take a look from Brother Hezekiah's first year of reign when this happened, and you add up all those years that those kings reigned before Hezekiah and after Solomon, what have you got? Kind of looking like to me, I've not added it up, but you got a few hundred years. And it hadn't been that blessed and it hadn't been that good since. But the Lord blessed then. And it started with leadership bent towards the Lord, and it started with repentance and to follow and get back right with what God had given in His Word. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up into His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Do you think the writer of 2 Chronicles was maybe a little over-optimistic about that? No, we know it's so because it's inspired of our Lord for Him to write it. The Holy Spirit of God moved in that man, whoever he be, whichever one it was that wrote this account. The Lord said He received it. Their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, unto heaven. Lord willing, next time we're going to take a look here about Brother Hezekiah. And we're going to take a look at things that you and I face and are tempted to face and deal with. We're going to take a look at on down the line in Brother Hezekiah's reign, 29 years. I'll go ahead and give you this statement that is said, and that maybe you've been there. We've all been there at a time. Maybe it would be like this. Well, I've really got dedicated here to follow the Lord and obey the Lord and serve the Lord and really getting serious about it. Now this has got to happen. Or maybe we've been wayward from the Lord. Maybe we've been wayward from the Lord and the Lord's convicted us and He's spoken to us. He's maybe touched us and chastised us and He's turned us around. We've got back to fellowshipping with Him and obeying Him and following Him and serving Him. And it's blessed like it is here and we're enjoying it and it's rich and it's good. And then we got some trouble in the skin. And we say, oh, but I just got things turned around and got back right. Why's this got to happen? Well, Hezekiah faced the same thing. He faced the same thing. And so, Lord willing, next time we're going to take a look at that. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Without Him, you have no help, no hope, no salvation, but with Him, you have it all because you have the Lord. Repent of your sins. Submit unto the Lord and His truth and His way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. He is the only way. May the Lord help and bless.